Okay, the next feature, two-way communications. Well, yeah. In this respect, though, it's there's several modes. You can text message. So this is a super underutilized resource because a lot of people have APRS-style radios, handhelds, while they are at a little bit of a deficit on the East Coast because you're only running about 5 watts. You get stomped by a lot of more powerful stations. What this can do, though, is listen all the time. So you can receive a text message if you're just walking around. Now, you may not be able to acknowledge it, but at least you can, you know, you can know somebody's trying to get a hold of you. Bulletin, a perfect example of that are bulletins. There's a bulletin function. You can send a spam blast if you want to everybody. There's a group up in Long Island that seems to be really, really having fun with this lately. There's a lot of text messages about their nets on Long Island that keep showing up. Although I haven't seen any the past couple of days, I think somebody may have, you know, some people may have had a conversation with them. But bulletin's super useful. You know, you could set up your radio to send a bulletin. Hey, you know, W2MMD, there's a net at 8 o'clock on Sunday. And for a couple hours before the net, you could send that bulletin out so people in the local area know, hey, there's a net I can check into. There's a position status message. And the really cool thing about this was Bob designed it off the national, I forget what the NIMS stand for. It's the old ICS. 213. You know, what's that?
213.
Yes. Well, no, not the 213 per se, but the old incident command system. National incident
management system.
Thank you. So one of the things, though, there are, and this comes back from you know, in the EOC back in the old days of paper maps. You know, stations would, you would find out what that station's doing. Like, you get a resource on a map. You've got five fire trucks sitting here. If all of them say off duty, hey, that's a resource you can reassign. But if you have a task force running down the road, you can see, oh, they're en route. They're going somewhere. They're committed to something. So you can build that. That's built into the position protocol in APRS. So it's just one thing you can set. The one asterisk I want to talk about right here, the one of the statuses is called emergency. Please don't turn that on, because you will light up everything with APRS, everything that's APRS capable that can hear you will light up. It'll start beeping and flashing and making all kinds of noise. So it's you know, if you're, yeah, you know, if you've been out four wheeling in the Pine Barrens, you don't have a cell signal and you broke a wheel, okay, set it for emergency, somebody will get a hold of you. But use that one with care. Okay, another core feature is data transmission, the most common being weather data. And this is really cool. There's a bunch of APRS stations that will broadcast what the current weather is. So you can see everything from just temperature and humidity to temperature, humidity, wind speed, wind direction, lightning, radiation. All those things are built into the weather broadcast frame. So depending on what data you have available to send, you could send anything from a temperature and humidity onto, you know, everything short of sending a satellite image. So weather data, super, super useful. And I encourage, I think right now there's only maybe one or two stations in South Jersey that are sending weather information. We need more. You need some backups. And the National Weather Service will look at the APRS IS stream. They'll pull data off of local weather stations. So it's a good resource for, if you've already invested the money in putting a weather station up, why not share the data with everybody so that everybody can get a benefit?
got the resources. It's on the list. If anybody wants to work on it, let me know and we'll get it done faster.
Okay.
We've got the weather station. We've got the radios.
It's making
the people.
It's making the plumbing work.
Yep.
So
non-trivial, by the way.
Yeah. So sensor data. In fact, well, unfortunately, he's not here, but Mike, KG4.
JYA.
Thank you. I don't know why I have a block about his name. Yeah, so he's one of our weather guys, or our weather balloon guys, along with John. So one configuration they can use a do with a balloon is send APRS frames. So you can get telemetry, what the solar panel's doing, what the temperature's doing, you know, all kinds of information from the balloon or the sensor package on the balloon. A lot of times that's also done with Whisper. The difference being you have a whole lot more data to play with in APRS than you do with Whisper. But they're useful for different applications.
And Whisper is usually 20 meters and APRS is usually 2, which means your propagation is way different. Everything's different.
Yep. All right. Also, custom messages. Now, this might not seem too obvious, but during an exercise we were doing with Cooper, we actually had people with APRS out at various long-term cares. And as they're moving patients around, we're putting in custom messages like red tag, white tag, black tag, for the various levels of, hey, white tag, this person's okay, not urgent to transport, they're doing okay. Red tag, we got to get this guy or this person moving for treatment. Black tag, we'll hold this one for the funeral home. So, but you can, the nice thing about custom message, it doesn't require anything to change in APRS. Effectively, you just, two stations have to agree what the custom message means. What custom message one means, two, three, I think you have a total of 5. So you agree amongst yourselves what those custom messages mean. And in a lot of the APRS software clients, you can remap a custom message so that, like the next operator coming on, you don't have to explain that to them. They'll see it right up on the display. All right, the APRS APRS internet system. It's a group of servers that are run by volunteers. They've been running for, I want to say, at least the last 30 years. And how to tie into the internet system is a little beyond the scope of today's talk, but you know, when you get to that point, I can help you out there. The configuration's not really hard, but it's something you specifically have to do to get there. But APRSIS enables a lot of really cool features. In my mind, the most important is worldwide message delivery. As long as the APRSIS system, and think of the APRSIS system as not really, it's not anything smart in and of itself. It's just a bunch of servers and it's a giant pipe that all the APRS packets from around the world, basically it's like, you know, it's like dumping a teaspoon of data into a river and it's all, you know, the river's all flowing and various stations will dip into the river and pull information out that they need. So the biggest one is worldwide message delivery. As long as a packet with your position has entered into the APRSIS, everybody knows where you are. So if John's on a scuba trip in Curacao and I want to send him a message and he's transmitted his APRS position at some point in the last hour to 2 hours, I can send him a message and the basically the local, whatever station heard him, will now also be listening on the APRSIS. And it'll say, oh, here's a message for John. I'll grab it and send it to him. So it's not sophisticated. It's really actually a very simple messaging system, but it works. It works really well. So that is a hugely underutilized part of APRS. So, and I'm one of my hobby horses, I'll keep harping on it. It also enables interoperability between APRS and WinLink. Now, if you really, really, really enjoy torturing yourself, you can send an entire email from APRS through the Winlink system. But you will do better with cuneiform in a mud tablet, letting it dry, and then having a carrier pigeon carry it somewhere. It will go faster. It's what I call a dancing bear technology. It's not the fact that, you know, how well the bear can do the cha-cha. It's the fact that the bear can stand up and dance at all. Where the really, really useful part of this is, if you put a certain tag in your position beacon, Winlink will hear it, and if you've got mail, you'll get a message back from Winlink saying, hey, you have 1, 2, 10, 20 messages. So it gives you, and you don't have to do anything. You just put this little token in your position, and the Winlink system's listening to this 24/7, and whenever you have a Winlink message, boom, you get an alert that, hey, go check your messages. I find that super, super useful. On-demand weather. I don't know if anybody used WXBot. It's cool. You just send an APRS message to WXBot. You put either your zip code or your Maidenhead grid square in, and it will give you a custom weather report for that location. And it's good. I think it's a 12-hour weather report. So, again, super useful. If you're out someplace where you don't have a weather radio station or you're out of cell coverage, you know, as long as there's a resource to get you back to the APRS internet system, WXBot will give you a weather forecast for your area. All right, there's a chat server called AN server. I never learned what the actual AN part meant. The guy who wrote the AN server software recently became Silent Key. His first name is Lynn, and he also wrote an APRS client that's still, I believe, supported called APRS IS32. It's one of several APRS clients. Each of them operate completely differently, which is kind of amazing. They all address the same underlying technology, but the way they display and the information, the way you interact with them, each client's completely different. So you can find something that, you know, kind of fits the way you think. Anyway, AN server is a chat server. Every Thursday, there's, in fact, if you look on, if anybody's on Facebook, if you look for APRS Thursday, there's a Facebook page about hams on the gram, and basically you send it's basically a worldwide APRS check-in on Thursday. But make sure that if you decide to check in, after you've checked in, send a disconnect or an uncheck frame. Otherwise, every time somebody checks in all over the world, you will get a message back saying, hey, John checked in, Marty checked in, Jay checked in, and you can easily swamp the 144.39 frequency in this area. It gets really busy on Thursday. So connect to it and then send the unsubscribe message, and that way, you know, you won't swamp our local resource. But it's really cool. I played with it. It's a lot of fun. All right, and then there's AP Spot. So if you're out doing POTA, SOTA, Workbench on the Air, WBOTA, all kinds, and basically anything where you're operating in the field and you maybe can't spot yourself over a cell phone connection, you know, you can send a message to AP Spot. In the case of a POTA, you just put in the message, you know, whatever your park designator is, what frequency you're on, and let it rip, and AP Spot will eventually get forwarded to the POTA website, and you'll pop up as a spot on the POTA website. So it's another option if you're out playing POTA and you don't have cell phone coverage. Lastly, there's a service called APRS phone to text message. The server is called SMS Gate. That's who you send the message to. This was a resource that went away that recently came back because someone needed, essentially a lot of these services are somebody's passion project, and they'll put the server up to do something, and then for whatever reason, they either no longer have the time or financial resources to keep the server running, and it goes away. Sometimes another person who's passionate about it will pick that project up and run with it, which is the case of SMS Gate. The complication is with the cell phone companies now. They are getting rid of their email to SMS gateways. Verizon turned theirs off recently. I'm pretty sure AT&T's is going away in the not too distant future. So that was the mechanism that SMS Gate was using. Now, I understand that right now what the person that's running SMS Gate is experimenting with actually having a cell modem tied into their server so they can basically send SMS messages as SMS messages. They don't have to rely on the cell phone company to translate an email to a text. And subscribe to the APRS Foundation's email list. Occasionally you'll see updates about stuff like this. Sometimes there'll be an email asking to pass the hat because this is somebody funding this out of their pocket. And if other people find it useful, hey, maybe kick them some money. So that's a useful feature if the person you want to let know where you are or how you're doing, if they're not a ham, this is a really good way to, get a message on your significant other's phone.